Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, wonderful to see everybody. This is the end of August already. And remember, in August, we learned three different things. What we were learning in August is what is called the lost mode of prayer, a different way to pray using your thought, your feelings, and your emotions, and using that as a technology. And looking at this thing that we call God in a whole new and different way. You can look at it as energy, you can look at it as intelligence, you can look at it as a big computer in the sky. The reason why most people are not able to get what they want when they pray is because they are still seeing God as an old man in the sky. And that worked when the earth was flat. The earth is no longer flat. So now we have to change our concept of God. This thing that we call God is a concept. Yes, God does exist, but it's a concept in the mind of man. And you have to realize that. And you have to realize that it is a living God, and we're learning more and more about it. And it's the more we learn scientifically about the world around us, the more we learn about this thing that we call God. So we get a new attitude about God and a new way to use God. And we look at God always as a technology that is always willing, able, and ready to give us what we pray for. We do not have to plead with this thing that we call God. What we need to do is be very clear on what we want, and then use our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings to achieve that. If you use those three items, those three technologies, this thing that surrounds us all the time corresponds to us and will deliver what we ask for. When we don't receive what we ask for, it is because we don't have the right concept of God, or we don't have the right concept of ourselves. We always have to remember that we're whole and complete and perfect, and that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. You must start all your treatment work with that premise, along with the premise that it is already done. So, when you're doing anything, even thinking, your thought has life. It goes someplace. It does something. It is a life of its own on a hierarchy of consciousness. So you have to remember that when you're putting anything out there, it is doing something. It is affecting something. Because this environment that we live in, this plane of action that we live in, responds. It not only responds to our thought, it responds to our feelings. And we know that now. There's no way that you can observe anything without changing what you are observing. So you have to keep all that in mind and know how sensitive this thing is that we call God, and that we're connected to it and connected to everything else. Once you can convince your mind of all these little things, you will get a demonstration in your life. You will get a demonstration in your life. If it's not working in your life, it is because of your thinking. It is never because God is trying to hold something back from you. This thing we call God does not show favors. What it can do for one, it can do for all. So we remember those things. And then we just sit down and we ask. And then we get the feeling, how would feel when this, think without words, appeared in front of me? How will I feel about it? Get the feeling. You always hook things with a feeling. My friend Joyce Reynolds, a motivator of 1 of 1,000, she always throws out a line from her stomach with a hook in it and hooks something from the solar plexus where you have the feeling. And you hook it, and then you just bring that in. You must have that feeling going. And we know that. This is nothing. We call it the lost mode of prayer. They talk about it all the time. Sometimes it's very clear, and sometimes it isn't. But our Little Mental Equivalent by Emmett Fox, which we started and everyone should have, always says you must have warmth of feeling in order to make a demonstration. It's done with thought and a warmth of feeling, with that underlying emotion always of love. Remember, there are only two, love and fear. So pick love and start with that. So when we say we're going to start with love, what does that mean? That means love for yourself. This world has taught, and most institutions have taught, that love is outside of you somewhere, and that you must love everybody. Great idea. I'm all for it. But you cannot love anybody till you love yourself. You cannot receive in life what you want till you start to love yourself. All healing is done with what is called a sincere heart or a loving heart. So you must love yourself. So forget about other people and work on yourself. You don't have to be nasty to them. You don't have to be anything to them. But work on yourself. Otherwise, it's always going to be the blind leading the blind. If you do not first have that stability within your own self that you could honestly look in the mirror, look yourself straight in the eyes and say, I am a wonderful human being. I am a wonderful human being. I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Please do that every day. So with that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
For the new person, John did tell you that this is a metaphysical teaching.
Yes.
Yeah. So we may say some strange things. If you don't understand them, ask me after class. So let me back up a minute and tell you the reason why we're not putting the mic on the table anymore. Every month now, I am at the end of the month, one talk is going to be questions and answers so that everyone can answer, can get their answers. And if you have questions in this class, ask me before class or after class. I will stay and answer your questions for you. The reason why we're doing this is because of these recordings. People now are listening to these all over the place. And it's not coming through on the mic. It's not, so they don't. And the people who don't know the individual people are not interested in the stories that people want to tell. So we're going to not have that, but we're going to accommodate everybody. I will answer any question before or after class. And once every month, we will devote the whole time to questions and answers. So you can write down your questions and your answers and try to stump me if you wish. But we'll answer them. So we're going to take care of you, or I'm going to take care of you. But we have to do this because of everyone now is listening to these over the internet. So that's the way that goes. All right. I'm back from Chicago. I had an absolutely wonderful time. Learned a great deal of things there. And one of the things that I thought was absolutely impressive about the church there, it's called a Center for Spiritual Living in Chicago. There were, I think, about 12 practitioners graduated with a practitioner's license, which if you don't know what that means now that they have a license that was given to them after studying. They studied 3 or 4 years for this. So now they are able to do treatment work for people, which means if somebody has a problem, wants a treatment, these people can do it. But what they did before they received their little certificate, the minister asked them to turn out to the audience and to receive from the audience the love, the admiration, you name it. Why? Because first, you must learn to receive before you can give. You must learn to receive before you can give, which is an exact opposite of usually what we're taught. Because the idea is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. No. This teaching, for some reason, metaphysics, always goes against the grain of what's going on in the world. When I was in Boy Scouts, it was God first, others second, and self third. This is what they taught people. You were always down here. You were always at the bottom. I'm telling you now that you're at the top. You love yourself first. Then you can start to love other people. When you love yourself and you love other people, then you can love God. But until then, it's just emptiness and a bunch of twaddle going on. So learn to receive and say thank you very much without a little story. Love your hair best you can.
Thank you.
Yes. You see how easy that is? You just say thank you or thank you for noticing. You see? That shows that you have great love for yourself. That you have self-confidence. When somebody gives you a compliment and you start to talk yourself out of it and talk them out of it, you're not only saying that you're not being able to receive, you're calling the other person an idiot. Because what does she know that your hair is nice looking? What, who is she? Is she a hairdresser? Is she this? Well, how dare she say something like that? So this is all done in mind. This is the way your mind works. And you have to use these different things. This teaching is about learning to witness your mind and see what your mind is doing. But for years, we're so automatic. And for years, we thought this whole thing was polite. You give somebody a compliment. They say, oh, no, you shouldn't have. Oh, I know I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. I'm not lovable. And I don't matter. So please don't give me any of this thing. It's called the hot potato. I say, you're wonderful. No, you're wonderful. No, you're wonderful. No, you're wonderful. No, you're wonderful. They just keep throwing the potato back and forth instead of taking it and saying, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and I'm taking that in. We have to learn how to take compliments in. We don't take compliments in because we have no hook inside of us to hook them on. So start growing hooks. Every time that you're able to say thank you, you're growing a hook so that it can hang on something. Other people who do not have hooks, you could say anything to them, it flies right through them. Why do you think when you say to somebody, geez, you're beautiful and I love you, and it means nothing to them, it goes right out? Because they have no hook inside of them to hold that. And you have to have a hook to hold it. How do you develop a hook to hold compliments? By first knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Once you know that and somebody says those things to you, you go, well, absolutely, glad you noticed. You see? Now you build on that. And you build on that. If you don't, just goes right out. So, don't do that to yourselves anymore. For the rest of your life, take compliments. Know that people give them to you because they want to give them to you, because you deserve them, and that the person that's giving them to you is not an idiot. You see? If they didn't think your hair was nice, they wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't say anything. This is across the board. So do that for yourselves. And make hooks inside of you to hold these items. This is why relationships fall apart. There are no hooks for the relationship or anything that's going on in that relationship to hold on to. Just slide, just keep sliding right out of you, right out of you. And so many people don't feel, and we use this constantly, oh, I don't feel very fulfilled. Well, of course you don't feel very fulfilled. You don't have any hooks for anything to hold on in there. Everything just slides through and slides through. So you have to get those hooks. And you do that yourself. You do that by giving up your past history. By giving up the past that people have told you. You are not your past. You are not your story. All power is in the now. All power is in the now. What happened to me this morning has no influence on me whatsoever. What happened to me 20 years ago? Nothing. I do not allow my mind to go down memory lane. Why should I let my mind go down memory lane? I'm not there anymore. That's gone. I can say, wonderful time I had. That's it. And I'm looking forward now to better times. I'm looking forward always to that. Always remembering that you're moving from your good to your greater good. You're moving from glory to greater glory. You cannot move as long as you're looking back. You cannot move as long as you are looking back. Remember in the Bible, the lady, Saul's wife, was it? Saul? Looked back.
Lot's
wife. Lot's wife looked back. And she turned to salt. What that means metaphysically, when you are always looking back, you crystallize your thinking. And you cannot see the future. You cannot see the present. So your mind crystallizes. It turns to salt. You see? You can move forward while you are looking back. So let the past alone. Let it alone. We don't want to go dig it up. You cannot change it. So you might as well bless it, love it, bless it, and release it. Let it go. And let go of the emotional punch that it had on you. So consciousness and thing in your mind, a little voice from the past, from a parent, saying, oh, I'm clumsy, I'm stupid, you're this, you're that. You must get rid of that. Realize that your parents weren't as bright as you thought they were. That's it. They weren't as bright as you thought they were. Nothing you can do about that. Love them anyway. And move on with your life. Always we're moving on with our life. This thing that we call God creates and immediately moves on. Creates and immediately moves on. Never looks back. Just keeps creating. And that's what you do with your life. Create a new moment for yourself. Create something new for yourself. Don't waste your time trying to correct the past. You cannot do it. You will spend the rest of your life trying to correct the past and waste a great deal of time and bore many people to death. Absolutely. You will do that. And you know people, don't you? You think, oh my, will you shut up? So, very easy. All right. Tonight, we're doing affirmations. I want to talk about affirmations. Since now we know about prayer, and we know how to use these different techniques to do prayer. Now, another tool that we have is called affirmations. Look, here's the way I look at it. When you do an affirmation, you're talking to your mind. When you're doing a treatment work or prayer, you're talking to the mind of God. But we have to correct our own mind first. And we do that with affirmations. Now, many times I've told you, I have many affirmations. I use them. They work for me. Now, my affirmation is Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. Now, that makes absolute sense to me. And that does something inside of me. But if you say it, and it does nothing inside of you, don't use it. Make one of your own. You have to make something that your mind will accept, and that your body will accept, so that it feels good when you say it. If it doesn't, if you don't get that feeling, if you don't get something going on inside of you, don't use it. The other thing to remember, words are always going to structure thought. There's no other way that you can think without words. If you thought without words, you wouldn't know what you were thinking. Simple as that. So now, when you're doing these affirmations, you have to pick the correct words. Words that mean something to you. Words that mean something to you. See? Earlier this evening, I heard a word which I would never use. And it's out there in race mind, and it's always connected with something medical. The medical field talks in war terms. They talk in war terms. It hasn't invaded this. Oh, big battle going on in there. Oh, you know that your heart could be a time bomb. Constant war terms with your body and with your health. Stop doing that to yourself. Stop doing that to yourself. Change those words. You know, see? If you think something's invading you, what is it going to do? It's going to invade you. You see? So you have to always be watching what you are saying. What you are saying. You have to be able to hear that. Hearing is very, very important. If it wasn't important, you would only have one ear. You have one mouth, 2 ears. So hearing is more important than talking. You have to hear what you're saying. And you have to hear what other people are saying instead of just taking it all in and taking it all in. I edit immediately. When people are saying something to me, I edit all the words that I don't want. I edit it right out of their conversation, because I don't want those words in my thinking. Because if those words are in my thinking, they're going to filter down into my body, and I do not want them in my body at all. I don't want them in my mind or my body. Because also, with affirmation, it's going to be feeling. I have said this class from day one, life. Feeling is the life of the organism. Feeling is always going to be the life of the organism. Feeling is always going to be the most important thing. Not what are you thinking, but how are you feeling? How are you feeling about that? How will you feel when that is done? So, always go to your feeling. Your feeling will never lie to you. Your thoughts will lie to you. Because the mind has a tendency to make up stories. Feelings don't make up stories. They just don't do it. Feelings come from the heart. And the heart always tells the truth. Your mind does not tell the truth, because it has too many little things up there, too much information up there, that it can pull out one file drawer after the other and tack this on and that on and the whole works on. And it does it very quickly. Your mind does that very quickly, and you don't realize. But you think of something, and it will immediately attach things to it. When you have a feeling, nothing is attached to it. It's a pure thing. It just comes out from the heart, that feeling. Your mind will always talk you out of something. The heart will not. So with your affirmations, start with something that's reasonable, that your mind can accept. Your mind, not my mind. You see, people go for the big thing, and it's unacceptable to the mind. Your mind will not accept that. It's not reasonable at the time. It's not reasonable that everyone in this room will wake up tomorrow a millionaire. That is not reasonable. There's no way that you can make your mind believe that. So you have to start with something that your mind will believe. And when your mind believes it, you will see it. You will see it. But people start with something that's not reasonable. You see? They start with something that's not reasonable. People want in a relationship. Who do you want a relationship with? Brad Pitt. Is that reasonable? No. So you can go around thinking that all day long, and you can do affirmation after affirmation, but it's not reasonable. You see? This thing that we call God is intelligent, and is intelligent, and you must talk to it intelligently. You must talk to it intelligently. So, with your affirmation, pick something that you can believe and that will resonate inside of you. Will resonate inside of you. Years ago, if you'll remember, I had an affirmation, I am a reader. Because I love to read, and I've always wanted to be a better reader, and I'm always working on my reading. After I made the affirmation, see, that was that invasion coming in. After I made that affirmation, I want to be a reader, then I just didn't sit there. Went out and got a book, and I started to read. Then I got another book. Then I looked around one day and I said, my goodness, I have a bookcase full of books that I read. Then I bought another bookcase, now I have another bookcase that I've read. Then I have books here and there and everywhere. You see? You must become your affirmation. You must become your demonstration. You're the one who has to do that. We know that from day one. We've heard it all our lives. God helps those who help themselves. You have to do that. In this teaching, we say you must treat and move your feet. You must do something. You must do something. That is not only to show the universe that you're sincere, it's to show you that you're sincere. Because the first thing your mind wants to do is talk you out of it. If it can't talk you out of it, it can certainly give you every excuse why not to show up and why not to hold up. Excuse me. Well, this is the whole idea with people who go on diets. People go on diets. Well, if you read any of the diet books, if you look at any of that stuff, even if you take the medications and so forth, the other thing that it says, you must do all this plus exercise. No one remembers plus exercise. And eat a balanced diet. No one remembers those. Your mind just goes, oh no, you don't have to do that. No. You always have to do something. You have to treat and move your feet. God helps those who help themselves. These are basic things that we know. So we have to get up and do something. Otherwise, nothing comes into your life. Nothing happens. The mind will come up with more excuses of why you cannot do that. Now, if you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you may not let your mind talk you out of anything. Why is that? Because you're not your mind. You are not your mind. And your mind will always make you limited. Your mind will always come up with a limitation. It will always say that can't be done. You see? And you must realize that it can be done. That's the limitation that the mind is giving. We know that this thing that we call God is unlimited. So you have to move up in consciousness, where you have a consciousness that is unlimited, where everything is possible in that consciousness. And then you could break through that. But most people stop. They stop at that limit that the mind gives them. When you do that, you are not loving yourself. When you do that, you are not loving yourself. We have great potential within us. Great potential. There isn't anything that we cannot do. But we allow our minds to stop us. Only thing that stops us in life is our mind. It is the only thing that stops us. Nothing on the outside of life can stop you. Everyone wants to blame it on money. Money is never stopping anyone from doing anything. Money is never the issue. It is never the issue. It's your mind. So learn to listen to your mind. Hear what your mind is saying to you. And learn to break through that. Every time you can break through it, you've expanded your limits. You've expanded yourself. You see? And you know when you do that. When you listen to your mind and you become limited, you don't feel good about yourself. And that's the problem that's going on in the world today. People have bought into their minds and they are not going past that limit. And you must go past that limit. Remember, months ago, I had to do 1,000 of the vows. It took me over 4 hours. My mind said, "You cannot do this. This is impossible. Why would you want to do it? No human is doing it. Why would these people ask you to do such a crazy thing?" Came up with all kinds of things. I just kept doing it. After I did it and I completed it and I was able to do it, I felt so good. Couldn't walk, but I felt so good. Because I did not allow my mind to tell me I couldn't do it. And I did not allow my mind to stop me at 500. I kept going, and I kept going. I did that same thing when I ran the marathon. You cannot allow your mind to say that. I ran for 4.5 hours and some odd minutes and seconds and I don't know what else. And my mind kept saying, "Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Now you've been running a half a day, Alan." Yeah, 4 hours. "Now you've been running a half a day." But I kept on going. I just kept on going. You have to be able to listen to your mind and not allow it to control you. You are not your mind. Don't allow your mind to convince you that it is you. And it loves to do that. And when it does that, it keeps you right where you are. So don't identify with your mind. Your mind is just there. But you have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to make it shut up. Remember? Mary Baker Eddy, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. And that's what we don't do. We allow our minds to win because it can come up with rational ideas. Now, if you're in metaphysics long enough, you realize that some of this stuff isn't rational. But it's logical. But it's not rational, some of it. But we do it anyway, don't we? And we get results from it. So now it's September coming, and a new change. I always like September because September to me is a new year. it's something new coming in September. So, with August, you've learned how to do prayer, how to do a lost mode of prayer. Now, you realize that you do not have to understand this, and you do not have to believe in this, but it will still work if you use the technology. You don't know how your computer works, but yet you play with it all day long. You do not have to know, but if you do these three items of thought, feelings, and emotion, get those going, that is a technology. And it will work, you see. Your computer, whoever sits down in front of it can run your computer if they know computers. It doesn't say, oh, no, I'm not going to do it for you. Well, so when you sit down in front of God, you have to remember that. God's not going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to do it for you. God's going to say, oh, you have the three technologies going. You must know how to run this thing. Okay, here it is. And you get it. And you get it. So it's learning to give up the old and learning something new. Although we say this is new thought, this thought has been around before Christ. This thought has been around forever. This thought, the Essenes, who were 500 years before Jesus, were using this. This new information that we have about prayer and the lost mode of prayer and all is from the Essenes, and it's from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which, by the way, are going to be in San Diego. I don't know how they're doing that, because I didn't think they were allowed to be moved. But if you want to see them, go down and see them. You won't read much about them, but there it is. Another interesting thing, while we're on the subject of learning how to change things and so forth, and change your mind, and realize that there's no conspiracy going on. When they ripped the pages out of the Bible, when they took chapters out of the Bible, when they rewrote the Bible so many times, it wasn't because it was a conspiracy going on, it was because they thought they were doing something good. And, of course, they changed things around so, not for any malpractice, but they lost a great deal of the thing. What I'm going to tell you is this. The original Bible was in Aramaic. The Aramaic language only had 800 words. But one word could mean many things. But only if you were in that culture did you know the real meaning when somebody said, was talking. The way they did it, with the color that they were using, with the inflection, with this, that, the other thing. So right there you realize how much misinterpretation could go on with the next, when they translated it into Greek. And then from then on it just kept getting watered down and misused and misrepresented. So, the thing is, don't give up the Bible, but realize that you can now think for yourselves, think differently. You don't have to go down that. Look at the people who read the Bible literally. They're scary. Those people are scary. You see? Don't do that to yourself. If you want to read the Bible, read it metaphysically. The Bible is written on many, many different levels. Learn to read it differently. This whole teaching of metaphysics is a different way to go through life. A different way to go through life than most people go through life. And that's why when people are out there in the world that you meet, of course they're going to be thinking differently. Because that's their thought atmosphere. And they're going to come from a different premise than you are going to come from. When you come from a different premise, you think differently. If you come from the same old paradigm that your parents had, your grandparents had, dating clear back to the Middle Ages, you're saying. You don't give yourself a chance to really think, you're saying. In the Middle Ages, they came up with most of this stuff, and we're still using it. Now, you're saying, that's the point. And part of the Middle Ages, and all the things that you know about the Bible, all the little things that you know about the Bible, and people who say, oh, just terrific. You have to remember that all those people lived in a flat world. They lived in a flat world, so their concepts were completely different. They had no idea of that. And why was it a flat world? It was a flat world because of ancient Egypt and Babylonia. They thought it was a flat world. So the rest of civilization just kept picking that up and picking that up and picking that up. They used different terms and so forth. But think about that. When the Bible was written, when all these spiritual things that keep coming back up, that don't make sense to you now, they don't make sense to you now because we know it's not a flat world. But they always had to start with that premise. That's where they started. They had not the knowledge that we have today. So, you have to know what premise is this coming from. We have changed over the years. Our view of the world keeps changing. Our view of the solar system and of the universe itself keeps changing. Just keeps changing. Why is that? Because the thing we call God is infinite. Is infinite. Everyone wants to make God finite. Everyone wants to know exactly what God is. Well, you're never going to know that, so give that idea up. You don't have to know everything about God to be able to use God. You don't have to know everything about God to be able to bring into your life what you wish to bring into your life. You see? You don't have to know all that stuff. This thing is going to work. Remember, people always are saying, well, they're very bad people, but look, they're right there. Yeah, they can do it. They can do it. Well, of course. Because God doesn't know good and bad. God only knows to give. And everything is given to you by this thing that we call the law of attraction, or the law of cause and effect. And that works for everyone exactly the same way. Thing about that is, in the Bible, what does it say? It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. That means the law works for the just and it works for the unjust. You have to remember those things. So, it's always going to come back to you and what you are thinking about yourself. What you are thinking about yourself. So you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter all the time, across the board. You have to do that for yourself. Then you can do treatment work and you can do affirmations. Now, the other thing, yes, come to classes, learn as much as you can, but then always make it your own. Always make it your own. You see, if you want to know about God, do it individually, for yourself. Don't say, well, my church teaches this, this, and this, and this about God. That's your church. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about it? You're saying, this is how you do it. You're saying, everything is in a box. So, these church ideas will say is in a box. But you have to realize that inside this box is inside a bigger box. And that box is inside a bigger box. And all you're doing is moving from box to box to box. What does that remind you of? Stretching your consciousness. You have to stretch your consciousness till you get to the other box. When we sit and say that the world, the universe, is prosperous and abundant. You see, it's always prosperous and abundant. Oh, yes, but look at all that lack and limitation. Well, that's that box. But this box isn't. And you move to the box. You see, you move to that box. And we're always going to be moving from box to box to box. If you're a thinking individual, and if you're participating in this thing called life, it's going to change, and your box is going to change. You cannot stay stationary. What we believed 100 years ago, we do not believe today. Look at all the things that have gone out of fashion because we have advanced. We've advanced in intelligence, and we certainly have advanced technology and scientifically. When I was in school, we taught, well, great example. Didn't we think that Pluto was a planet? Didn't they just take that away from us? You see? So if you thought the world was flat back then, and now it's round, you see the difference? How you go, you have to advance with this thing. Every time you advance with this thing, yes, most churches love to keep you stationary because they're afraid. Never be afraid of that, because everything is God, and God is just revealing more of itself to you. That's all. God is revealing more of itself to you. We use this word, oh, I discovered. We discovered gravity. No one discovered gravity. Gravity was already here. We just revealed that. It was just revealed to us, you see. Aerodynamics was always here. The law of aerodynamics was present on this plane of action when Moses was in the desert. Didn't happen. But we have advanced to where we have had that revealed to us, uncovered, instead of discovered. We just uncover things all the time. Everything is out there. Everything is out there. We have this horrible thing that we hear all the time. Incurable. That is incurable. Get that word out of your vocabulary. Don't let your mind say that. What the people are saying is, we don't have the knowledge right now. That's all that means. They don't have the knowledge to cure it. But it's not incurable. How many things were incurable when you were children? And now they're completely gone. They're completely gone. But yet we keep buying into that every time. Oh, that's incurable. Oh, okay. I'll just sit here and die. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to do that? You're saying, you don't do that to yourself. Use your thinking. Use your feeling. Use your emotion. And use affirmation. Affirmations build. They build your personality, and they build your character. Is everyone in here doing affirmations? And are they working for you and changing you? Affirmations will change you. But you have to start. You have to say something every day. Everyone, best one is, every day I'm changing in every way. Every day I'm changing in every way. Or just I'm changing, I'm changing, I'm changing. I'm transforming myself. I'm transforming myself. How many people here go to the gym? Every time you go to the gym, you're transforming yourself. You see, so that's not a lie. So you can do that. So you say to yourself, I'm transforming myself. I'm at my ideal weight. Now, if you make an affirmation, I'm at my ideal weight, what do you think you have to do then?
Have a sensible diet and exercise.
Thank you. A sensible diet and exercise. You make the affirmation, but then you have to do something about it. You have to treat and move your feet. Remember the German proverb that I have in my bedroom. It says, start to weave, and God will give you the thread. But if you don't start to do something, God sits. If you sit, God sits. If you move, God moves. You see, why is that? Because all that we are is God. But we are not all that God is. When I think, God thinks. Well, yes. Why? Because I'm living, moving, and having my being in the mind of God, the only mind there is. So you have to know. Just keep retraining your thinking. Just keep doing that for yourself. But get a bigger and better idea of yourself and a bigger and better idea of this thing that we call God. Don't stop. Ernest Holmes said that this teaching is open at the top. He said that. Well, I have not met one minister who has a church that doesn't stop where Ernest stopped. You cannot stop where Ernest stopped. You cannot stop where Jesus stopped. You cannot stop where Moses stopped. You must continue. We are consciousness. Consciousness is always moving. Consciousness is always expanding. What do we know about the universe? The universe is expanding. Everything is expanding. Your thinking is expanding. Your consciousness is expanding. And we have to expand past previous thought. We have to go past it. If we don't go past it, we stay exactly the same. We would still be cave people if somebody didn't think past that. But for some reason, when it comes to religion, we immediately say, oh, that's it. Can't go any further than that. That's what the church says. That's what the church preaches. That's what Ernest says. That's what this one says. That's all. So it must be absolutely right. Make it right for yourself. Make it right for yourself. When I was in Chicago, a young man came up to me. And Louise, my friend who provided the 4 days for me, introduced me and told him what I did and all. And he said, oh, and what center do you belong to? I said, I belong to my own center. Thank you very much. You do not have to belong to a center. You do not have to belong to a center. Groups are all well and good, but you can never move. You can never move past the consciousness of the group. You will hit the ceiling and they will not want you. If you go past that, their thinking, they do not want you. You cannot do it. That's what race mind does. Race mind does not want you to go past that. It wants to keep you in that box so that everything is predictable, so that they know exactly how you are. Don't allow yourselves to do that. Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God. Each and every one of us is using that mind. We have that mind inside of us. And if we have that mind inside of us, we can think for ourselves. And we can think bigger and better things about ourselves. And we think bigger and better things than any religion ever thought. Most religions are expanding. I think the one that expands, although it is steeped in tradition, the Jewish religion has always had scholars investigating everything and always going and moving and moving with it. Instead of going over what has already happened, they are moving forward with that. The Mormons must move past Brigham Young. You cannot stop with his thinking. You cannot stop with his thinking. Why is that? Because God does not show favorites. God does not show favorites. I was in the Lutheran church. Do you think I stopped because Martin Luther, all the things that he did to bring on the Protestant Reformation, his thinking, absolutely wonderful. So they come out with a church called Lutheranism. Now you're supposed to study his doctrines and so forth. You're supposed to know all that stuff. But just like anything else, they leave something out. They leave the most important thing out. And what is the most important thing that Martin Luther ever said? The thing that started the whole thing? I cannot go against my own consciousness.
Right.
I cannot go against my own consciousness. Now, where is your consciousness? Are you using their consciousness instead of your consciousness? You see? He said that. Ernest Jones said, this teaching is open at the top. Jesus said, you can do this and better. You can do this and more. All the great teachers that came onto this plane of action said, you can do this and greater things. They did not say, I'm the only one that can do this, and with my thinking, I have thought everything out, and it must stop with my thinking. But everyone looks at all these other things, and as soon as they see that, well, we can't think about that because that man knows more than I, and he's wearing red robes, so he must be all right. He must be all right. No. Make your own religion. Make your own religion. It's all right. You can associate with all those other people. But make your own religion. Become your own authority on this thing that we call God. This is the way it works. Otherwise, you're stuck. You'll get yourself stuck in a dogma. You'll get yourself stuck in a box that you can't get out of. You will. Both priests in the Catholic Church are metaphysical, but they have themselves stuck in a box of dogmas that the Church taught them, and they can't allow themselves to think past that. They just can't do it. So, from now on, starting in September, starting right here and right now, know that you know how to pray. Know that you know how to pray. And then sit down and do that for yourself. Start out with your whole complete and perfect, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Start out with the thing that it's already done. Then get the thought, the feeling, and the emotion together, and you will have what you want. When you're doing an affirmation, pick the correct word. Pick words that do something inside of you. My favorite thing that I'm doing of treatment is from Charles Fillmore. Charles Fillmore was the founder of Unity Church. And he used the word sizzle. And he says, life is sizzling through me right here and right now. And when you use the word sizzle, something happens inside of you. Oh, I'm sizzling with life. I'm tingling with life. You have to do that. This gets something moving. This gets things going. You do that. And your affirmation, make it reasonable. Make it your own. And you will have a transformation. You will have what you want in your life. You will be able to change anything. You will be able to change yourself and change your life by using your feelings. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.